morning, everyone. Scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 60, 1 to 6. As we begin the season of Epiphany, the season of light, the scriptures are filled with light. From Isaiah, we read the hopeful words of the prophet predicting to a hopeless people the healing of their nation. Not only will Israel be restored, but it will become a beacon of light to all the surrounding nations. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth and the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, your camels of Midian and Ephah, and all that Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The second reading today is from the Gospel, Matthew 2:1-12. Our familiar Gospel reading for Epiphany comes from the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew's Gospel, very different from Luke's version that we read at Christmas. Matthew's version of the story involves a very threatened King Edward, the killing of children under age 2, and a flight to Egypt. Although both Matthew and Luke see the land of God at work in Jesus' birth, Matthew's version takes great pains to remind us of the context. Jesus is born into a broken and often threatening world. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and take a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? O God, our light and our life, we give you the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, the actions of our lives, and by your Spirit, harmonize them all with your light in your life. Amen. Epiphany. It's the festival of light. It is the Christian equivalent to Hanukkah, festival of light in the Jewish tradition. And in so many other traditions, there is a festival of light. Rooted in the same, and interestingly, always around the same time of year, rooted in the same experience of the subtle shift that takes place right around now. Shift in the seasons, shift in the rhythm of light and darkness and the boundary between in the world. Except that we Christians have wrapped around that experience of light, of an experience of light in the world. We've wrapped around it a yearly experience of the story that enlightens our path. And we've connected it with what I believe to be a deeply spiritual experience of light in the world. So the connection between Jesus, the light of our faith, and the light increasing in the world is like an obvious connection. As we come to realize, as we come in experiencing the story of our faith, to the realization that the light of Christ is still alive in the world, the gospel of Christ is still good news and still alive in our communities and in our hearts and in our minds, still turning us around, still waking us up. That's Epiphany. So I want to start with that experience, that fundamental experience, because I've been stunned by the light these last, well, right through this season. As I look out and as I get out, the light is amazing. And people have been posting their experiences of that light and color in the world. And so I want to offer you a few of those just in the last 48 hours, people have sent me the light in the world. Oh, that one gets kind of washed out on this screen. You got to actually see that one. Bounces off everything. It's just, there's light just ricocheting all over the place these days. That was 2 days ago off Bowen Island. The person who took that picture has entitled it Dragon's Breath. You see it? That cloud. I was Danny Colossi. Unfortunately, I did actually credit these, but they have fallen off the bottom. That was Danny Colossi sent that one yesterday. From Whistler. That probably was Danny's people's waste. That was a rose. That was a rose from the longest night, or the quiet Christmas service. Somebody took home and took that picture, I think, 2 days ago. White rose. It's amazing how the light the combination of freezing cold and light come together in these. Newfoundland.
Amazing, eh? It's in the world, light. It is our experience every day. Christian theology has often been a theology that wanted to contrast light and darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," which places Jesus clearly on the side of light, which of course begs the question, where does Jesus go when it's dark? Our theological habit that goes with all of this imagery and the imagery that we create in our faith and this experience of light and dark, our theological habit is to judge the light as good and the dark as bad. Did you notice how sometimes the contrast is what made it magical? We place in the midst of the world a kind of a polarizing valuation of light as good and darkness as bad. The world lay in darkness until Jesus, and then we had access to light that we didn't have before. The light shines in the stable. The Magi follow the light until it rests over the stable where the light of the world lies. I mean, you know this imagery. It's all through our hymns and songs. And in Isaiah, we hear similar imagery from 600 years before Jesus' time, during the Babylonian exile. Arise, your light has come. And there's something true to our experience of light in this contrasting of darkness and light, because our experience of what you just saw is to feel lifted, lightened. And sometimes our experience of the darker sides of life, there can be fear, we can feel threatened, disoriented, like things are being concealed from us. Interesting. How many have seen the latest Star Wars movie? How many of you? It's doing okay at the box office then. Not huge, but okay. The Force Awakens, I think it's called. It opened up about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And I heard some significant chat. I did see it, by the way. And I heard some significant chatter on the internet in the last week about the way that it deals with light and darkness, good and evil, and where the Force fits into that. It would appear that some of the imagery and, I would say, theology of Star Wars, and there is theology in there, and some of the theology of the whole franchise of Star Wars has evolved since it first came out, since Episode 4, it was. But there is a thread, a theological thread within the movies that says that in the world there is this force, and good and evil, light, the forces of light, the forces of darkness have access to it in equal measure. It is a force for darkness and a force for light, depending on where you stand. And it can influence us either way. In fact, we have within ourselves, according to the theology of Star Wars, we have within ourselves the inclination to tip and the possibility of going either way I mean, almost every climax of every Star Wars movie that's ever been made is that moment when our hero makes the decision which way to go. Light and darkness. Watch the movie and watch it and then come back and tell me whether or not you think the force is a force of light or a force of darkness or something else altogether. Perhaps there's another way. But today is Epiphany, a celebration of light, enlightenment, lightening. And I seem to remember one of the ways that we as a community, Northwood, see ourselves, envision ourselves as a Christian community, is as light. A place of light, a place of hope. Lightness of spirit, celebration, joy in this part of the world, in this part of Surrey. We do that in worship, in community activities like the potluck that's going to happen after this. But also in the context of some rough circumstances that people experience. Hopefully 2016, we might experience together an opportunity for some refugees who were under struggling circumstances. We might have the honor of welcoming them into better circumstances. Circumstances that mean life and light. I know that 6 families in the season just passed over Christmas felt lighter through the offering of white gift. 6 families, 19 people. The light does shine and darkness does exist, and we live with both, and we are called to be an expression of light. Given that there's no denying the experience of darkness. I was talking to my son about this. Sometimes that's how I write my sermons. And we were remembering being in Ireland in 2006. And you may not know this about Ireland, but Ireland is known for its grottos, its caves. It has amazing, huge caves. And we went into a couple of them. And the one that we were remembering, the opening was as big as a large house. And you walk downstairs, down these long, many, 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 many stairs into this hole. And the hole just kept going and going. And eventually there were paths and eventually there were boardwalks. And you just kept going and going in to this darkness. And the boardwalks were lit by lights all the way along. And so you could see where you were going, and there was a guide, and the guide showed us these wonderful stalagmites and stalactites, these towers of stone that have been created by the slow accumulation of minerals that drip from the ceiling and onto the ground. And after 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years, you get this pillar of stone. It's amazing stuff, and it just draws you further in and deeper until we got as a group to a place where you could see, it was like an opening, you could see all around you, and all of a sudden, the lights went out. And it was dark. But, you know, we've experienced power outages before, right? You just have to wait a little bit and your eyes will grow accustomed to the difference in light because, you know, that'll happen. And you know this, you know, your eyes dilate and that's you're fine. We waited. It was dark. I couldn't see a thing. Funny, I started to hear my heartbeat. Funny, I started to hear all kinds of things, but I couldn't see a blessed thing. None of us could, because there was no light. There was no source.
It was, well, darker than the inside of a cat, darker than the inside of a cow, whatever you want to, it was dark. And then the guide said, anybody got a lighter?
And there was this rustle, 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 rustle. I couldn't see any of it because you couldn't see any of it. And then, and the light just went boom all over the inside of this cave. One lighter. And all of a sudden, you could see everything around you. It was an amazing experience. And I stopped listening to my heart and saw what was around. Epiphany is the festival of I can see now. It's the festival of bing. Ah, I understand. I understand now. And then it becomes a season where that light grows, where that enlightenment deepens. And as we move through the season and hear the stories of the gospel, the stories of the calling of people to the gospel, like a beam of light traveling out and drawing people in, and watch as that message, that good news, that light is received and welcomed. We celebrate how the source of life, source of light, enlightens us. And it is like a light that shines and bounces off the world. And we can see clearly and we feel lighter. It shines and spreads on the hoar frost, making everything it touches shine. May that include you.